T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Happy Friday! It is ESPN Upstate. It is Straight Up with Sturge. It is me, Willie P. It is Diesel. And it is you. 844-GSP-ESPN is how you get in touch with us. I am so happy that we get to reunite with a very good friend of mine, Rob Vino, sportsmemo.com. He'll talk about sports from a Vegas perspective. This is somebody who I've been talking to basically for the entire balance of my radio career, which, again, doesn't really last, but hasn't lasted that long. But somebody who I literally, if you throw him anything in the world of sports, he'll give you not only the Vegas perspective on it, but some fantastic breakdown. He's done extensive work on Clemson and South Carolina, probably a little bit more on South Carolina than Clemson, just because in the betting public, Clemson, it's only a recent thing that they've actually been a big part of the betting public. So from that perspective, he will give you a lot of insight, and we are very much looking forward to having him on these airwaves here pretty soon. And we'll talk a little Bravos near the end of the program. We'll talk with my friend Eric Cole from TalkingChop.com. After the Braves take 2 of 3 from the New York Mets and have a very big series against the projected National League frontrunner Los Angeles Dodgers, possible preview of the NLCS going on this weekend at SunTrust Park. Clemson on the field today, no real outside work for them, a lot of inside work. This was kind of a recovery day for them after their final scrimmage of fall camp. They will get the weekend off Saturday and Sunday. They'll have their final 2 official fall camp practices today, on a Monday and Tuesday, and then they will transition into game prep mode with a class starting on Wednesday and Thursday for the Tigers. They play 2 weeks from yesterday against Georgia Tech with the Thursday night showdown against the Yellow Jackets that, of course, the opening game featured on the ACC network. South Carolina, meanwhile, a light walkthrough today. They will practice tomorrow with a scrimmage inside Williams-Brice Stadium. It is their final scrimmage before they kick things off 2 weeks from tomorrow in Charlotte against the North Carolina Tar Heels at Bank of America Stadium. And we got some unfortunate news on the Gamecock front, and I say unfortunate when you see this regardless of the program, you and your heart kind of feels for the young man, as no one ever likes to see their career end by anything other than their own merit and their own desire. When the game forces you out medically, it's something that I always just hate to see. And I really hate to see it for this young man, because he had waited his turn and he had gotten to a point where he had become the number one option at a position where South Carolina needed some real impact. And instead, Keel Pollard, South Carolina's projected starting tight end, is no longer going to play for the Gamecocks because of suffering an injured neck, what was called by him on Instagram a broken neck. He said on Tuesday last week he did something every football player knows not to do. He ducked his head while blocking and then waited on the exam table to basically go through an MRI, what he called the longest 2 hours of his life. He said he'd be out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken neck. He said he was fine with that. But then after that, he found out in a test on Tuesday that he would not play football again because it's not safe for him to do so. He said on Instagram he's loved football and always will. It was his desire to rock Williams-Brice Stadium this year and play in the NFL. But he's aware that, quote, God has greater plans for his life, and he knows that he is more than football. Please don't feel sorry for me, because football has been good to me with a great education it's provided, and he'll be graduating this December. He says, I'm smart enough to know God doesn't give out anybody a gift that he doesn't plan on using. So with that being said, one chapter ends and another begins. 87 out. That is those are the words of Keel Pollard, the senior from a little bit south, the southern part of Georgia. Had 15 catches last year, 181 yards. Did catch a touchdown pass in South Carolina's opener last year, but really was supposed to take on a bigger role this year at a position that, quite honestly, South Carolina does not have a lot of depth in. And they really haven't had a lot of depth in. We saw Casey Crosby last year fill in somewhat adequately, but not necessarily to the level that people really thought he would. He only had 14 catches on his own right, did Crosby, for 149 yards. And this is also a position that I think has been underutilized under both Kurt Roper and now Brian McClendon in the times that South Carolina has had under Will Muschamp. Hayden Hurst was a guy who was a first-round draft pick by the Baltimore Ravens 2 years ago, and he was a guy who probably could have caught anywhere between 80 to 90 balls a season for South Carolina, given his frame and his ability to gain separation. And yet he was a piece that did not necessarily translate as much on the college field as he would to the National Football League. He looked like the real-life Rob Gronkowski, and he at South Carolina only produced 100 catches overall, 8 in his first season, 48 in 2016, and 44 in 2017. I'm sorry, that is a position where he needed to have a lot more of an impact given his frame and his ability. I know a lot of his time in 2017 was spent needing to not only pass block, but also run block. He stayed in as an attached tight end a lot more than he probably needed to because of South Carolina's atrophy on the offensive line. But because of that now, they're paying the price with that in the offset of having Casey Crosby last year not really contribute. Keel Pollard last year not really contribute, and now he will not contribute at all because of this broken neck. And now who steps up? Obviously, Trey Kenyon is somebody who is – been talked about very highly as a freshman. He's been dealing with a bit of a stinger, so as a result of that, he'll at least kind of continue to try and work his way back from that. And then there's the talk about Nick Muse. Nick Muse is the brother of Tanner Muse. He transferred from South Carolina, or transferred from William and Mary College in Williamsburg, Virginia, to South Carolina. They are basically waiting on whether or not he will get himself a waiver to play right away at South Carolina. And this, Diesel, is something that for a passing game with South Carolina, which we've been hearing from Will Muschamp, is not necessarily been going well. I obviously think that anything they can get out of the tight end position is a bonus, but this is a real tough injury for them to swallow, because right now the projected impact and input from that position, it doesn't look very, very good right now.
Well, the tight end could be such a devastating position. If you watch an offense that uses the tight end well, they end up being uncovered half the time. It's such a tough position to be able to cover because you don't know what he's going to do. Is he going to drop back in pass coverage? Is he a decoy, or is he a viable passing option? And it's, you got three things this guy can do at least, and it is, I've seen the tight end used recently in college football to devastating effect, and South Carolina is surely, you know, losing a really valuable piece with him.
Certainly is, and Kenyon's somebody who can be an impactful player. I mean, that's obvious. Yeah, he hasn't been healthy for a lot of spring practice, or excuse me, fall practice. They added him, of course, for spring practice. He was an early enrollee, didn't exactly come on time. There was a snag with his enrollment in the spring. He got added in the middle part of March, so he came kind of late in the game, but very much a good point for him to try and at least impact this team going forward. And again, Nick Muse, that was the thing that Colin Taylor told us earlier this week when he joined us on Straight Up with Surge here on ESPN Upstate. That was the biggest question on his mind going into the final week and a half of camp, is will Nick Muse become eligible immediately for the Gamecocks, because he is somebody who needs to be eligible in order for South Carolina to have any particular optimism about the tight end position. Other than that, they are woefully thin at that position. They've had to move Chandler Farrell from the offensive guard position to a tight end just to kind of get a body in there. They've been thinking about using him from the standpoint of as kind of the way they use Jacob August, as somebody who can kind of be an H-back, an extra blocking back, maybe an attached tight end on the end of the line, just so they can help with that running game, because right now they are thin on bodies with that position. Kyle Markway is somebody who they have used in the past. Remember, he had the big catch in the game against Missouri that set up the game-winning field goal from Parker White. But again, the actual impact of guys who can be real difference makers at that position remains very, very thin. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number, 71307. A little bit of a preview of what we have for you today. Again, mention Rob Vino, sportsmemo.com. He'll join us in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk later on in the program with Eric Cole, talking about the Braves. There is a story out today in the world of college football that kind of touches on the realm of where we've been talking all week when it comes to the amateur model of college football. It touches this. And quite honestly, it's the kind of move that could literally kill a football program. Like, you could kill any positive momentum by even suggesting what was suggested by a college football coach this week. They've since walked back the comments, but I believe the damage is already done. We're going to talk about that coming up about 15, 20 minutes from now, because I'm flabbergasted, Diesel, flabbergasted at the way that this whole thing was handled. And at a program that I know the athletic director personally. Like, if I called him up, he knows my name. He is a smart athletic director. And I find it hard to believe that he let this go in the public eye the way that he did, because I think he's a smarter man than that. And it just does not make a heck of a lot of sense for me. I want to ask you an hour from now, how long or how much longer do you think the Clemson dynasty will last? Does it last another recruiting cycle? Does it last another 5 years? Does it last another 10 years? Is it something where Clemson is in the public eye and in vogue in perpetuity? Or is there an expiration date on the Dabo mania and the power of the paw in the upstate? That'll be part of our poll question. We'll figure out the best way to word that and the fairest way to word that on ESPN Upstate on Twitter. That's at ESPN Upstate. You can tweet me at Willie P. Style. You can tweet Diesel at Diesel on Radio. And of course, the text line is open for you, 71307. Start your message with ESPN and you can be a part of the program. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. Coming up, Rob Vino, sportsmemo.com. Very excited to have him as a part of the program to talk about sports from a Vegas perspective. I'll get his 30,000-foot reaction on South Carolina and Clemson for the coming year. And also, I might ask him a little bit about the Braves as they come their way to try and at least be a part of that team, and also some Panther talk as they get ready for their second preseason game against the Bilthers at Bank of America Stadium tonight. You can hear that, of course, on our sister station, Classic Rock 101.1. Have some rehash from what we heard from Jim Zocchi earlier this week from the Panther Radio Network. Plenty of things to get to today. We're happy to have you with us on a Friday. Willie P. and Diesel, straight up with Sturge, ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So the real value of this guy is around NCAA tournament time, because I could literally throw out any one of the 330 or some odd basketball playing schools in the NCAA, Diesel, and he can basically bring you anything. He can give you a minute on every little team, which is fantastic. And he's our next guest, which is our good friend Rob Vino, SportsMemo.com, Sports from a Vegas perspective. Long time no speak, Robbie V. How are things, pal?
I am good today, buddy. How are you?
I tell you what, I'm fantastic, and it's great to hear your voice. I want to ask you, just straight up, from the standpoint of this college football season going into it, this has become such a predictive sport, especially at the top end. Has that hurt the betting electorate at all, or is it even just enhanced it just based on the people trying to get value from teams outside the top two or three?
Yeah, I don't think it's ever hurt. Football just continues to grow, and I think the biggest factor, Will, is the state legislation now across the country where it's becoming legal almost daily. I see Iowa hopped on board a couple of days ago, and you know, it's just creating a whole host of new sports bettors. So football remains king. It continues to grow every year, and now with everybody certainly within the next few years, for the most part, going to be able to do it legally, I don't see that whatever course of direction college football takes with the hierarchy of teams and, you know, maybe the division of talent being so wide right now, I don't think that's going to have anything to do with it. There's going to be point spreads, and point spreads always the great equalizer, so people will continue to bet it.
I find it interesting that last year it almost seemed like the odds makers with Clemson couldn't set the lines high enough, especially in conference with a lot of these games that became very lopsided. Florida State, Louisville, even NC State was a 17-point favorite, and they beat them 41-7. How have you seen the odds makers change their tone on Clemson over the years?
Yeah, well, certainly they are as respected as anybody across the nation right now. They earned that respect last year. I think odds makers were probably looking for the show me one more time type of deal. And you know what? Odds makers put the numbers there, Will, and then the betting market really dictates what they feel about teams. So the betting market is thoroughly convinced now that Clemson is one of the two top programs in college football, along with Alabama. Just for instance, last year, from a power ratings perspective, you know, I keep power ratings that will indicate to me what the point spread should be each and every week on games. They're as close to sports book and bookmaker numbers as you'll get. Clemson actually rose from the start of the regular season, game one, to their finale, winning national championship, 9 full points. So that goes somewhat to what you're saying. And if you go back 2 years, Clemson's actually gone up 16.5 points. So your point about odds makers not being able to keep up, rightfully so, very well taken, because it's been the case. They've just been on this incline power rating wise for 2 years now. And now it's to the point where they're just, well, you see what happens in week one now. They're 35-point favorites over Georgia Tech. So that tells you everything you need to know right there.
Yeah, we'll get to that one in a moment. But I do want to ask you about the A&M game. And you and I talked about this in the spring about the process. And I want you to bring this here because it's a different platform. But the line against A&M opened up almost kind of at a ballooned rate, and the sharps, you told me, kind of go in and bet that back down. Where do you see that game kind of finally settling? Because it was a 12-point line a year ago, ended up being a 2-point game. I know people maybe thought it would be a little bit more lopsided this year because of the change of venue, but I still see that game as being a close one. How do you see it now with the folks in Vegas?
Yeah, you know, I view it the same way you did, Will, and I remember when we talked about this a couple of months back because I was kind of astonished that A&M was on the short end of a plus 20-something point spread. Even if that game were played after Clemson won the national title, defeating Alabama, and you threw that game on a neutral field, they would still have only been a 17-point favorite. So that shows you how much respect they earned from bookmakers just off of that solo win. Those game of the year type things where they put those numbers up real early, months in advance, usually, like we discussed, guys go in, they will hit those games. It doesn't take a lot to move those games. You have to make your bet and kind of go to the back of the line as odds makers adjust every time a single bet is made. But by the time that game comes around this year, we'll see where it sits. Well, I'm not so sure that Clemson will remain as big of a favorite as they were when that number was set. I think you'll see A&M money. I think there's a lot of shrewd gamblers out there, sports bettors, college football bettors, that will take their shot with Jimbo Fisher, remembering what happened last year, and kind of apply that to this year. I'm one of those. I think that game was just overpriced, and anything over 17 to me would be overpriced.
So where would your ratings have that game at right now, as we said?
That game played at home in Clemson, I make that game 16.5.
Awesome.
Right now.
Interesting. I'd be inclined to take A&M, honestly.
Yeah, I think they get them at a good time of year. Well, that's the part that's never figured into the line, right? The odds makers don't sit there and consider situation as well. They're putting numbers together off of their mathematical set of power ratings, and they'll figure for which way they think the public is going to come in, and they'll pad it that way. But they're not considering situation, Clemson, how are they going to react across the defensive front without the experience depth that they've had the last couple of years? This game being played in week two, and with Texas A&M having the confidence off of last year's game. Those type of situational things are not figured into the line, but they all play into the hands of Texas A&M, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Now, if this game were played in week 10, might be a little bit different, but you're playing it early on this year, and to me that sets up favorably for A&M. Non-conference battle as well. Certainly high-profile game across the country, but I think A&M a lot more to gain than Clemson in that one.
Rob Vino, sportsmemo.com, sports from a Vegas perspective, joining us here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the radio.com app. What's your read on Syracuse? Clemson gets them in Central New York this year. It was a game 2 years ago that the Orange won. What is your read on Dino Babers' squad?
You know, I have a season win total play on that squad over the number, Will. I was kind of amazed that Syracuse was priced at 5 wins.
Ooh.
For the season. We saw it go up to 5.5 as bettors jumped in there, but it seemed a little bit absurd that you never question the Dino Babers offense. What you worry about is the Syracuse defense, and he's made strides on the defensive side of the football, and this year should be even better, and that's enough for me, looking down their schedule, or it was enough for me to go ahead and play this team up and over the total. Individual game prices, we'll see. Clemson has to go up there. It's not an easy place to play. Syracuse is not in awe of Clemson when you watch them play them the last couple of years. You know, they take the field feeling like they have a chance to win. So I know Eric Dungy's not there, but they're still in great shape quarterback-wise. And like I say, the biggest key to me for that team is could Babers get that defense to play, you know, better, significantly better. And that being the case right now, I think that that team over 5 wins, just that stood out to me when I was playing those type of bets.
Yeah, is that just based off of their road schedule? I know their road schedule is a little tough. They got to go to Duke. They got to go to NC State, Florida State, at Maryland. Or is it lack of faith in DeVito? Because they returned 7 on the defense.
Yeah, no, it basically when they set those numbers, they go right through the schedule and decide, are they going to be a favorite in this game or are they going to be an underdog in this game? And that's almost to a T how those numbers are set. So when you go through Syracuse, very quickly here, I don't want to chew up an entire segment, but, Liberty, they're going to be a favorite. Maryland, they're going to be, it'd be close call, but they might be a small favorite. Clemson, they'll be a dog. Western Michigan, favorite. Holy Cross, favorite. That's 4 right there. At NC State, probably not. Home to Pittsburgh would be their 5th favorite game. at Florida State, BC would be 6, Duke, Louisville, Wake Forest. If I count them up, I see them being favored in 7 of the games, but maybe my vision of Syracuse is more skewed positively than the odds makers was when they made the number. Obviously, the bettors jumped on it, Will, because like I say, I got 5, it went to 5.5, and some offshores even went 6 at one point.
All right, we'll take off the orange glasses, Rob Vino, and go with the garnet ones here, as we want to talk a little Gamecocks with Sports in a Vegas perspective. The South Carolina Gamecocks, everyone's talked about the schedule this year. I'm tired of talking about the schedule. The win-loss total, I know, is something that people are kind of wondering about. Some people say 5-7, some say 6-6. I'm almost more optimistic than anybody else. Where do you see the Gamecocks' ceiling? Where do you see their floor?
It's a wide gap. And that whole division, Will, to me, is, you know, when you get past Georgia, after that, I really start to wonder. We'll see what Florida has when they play Miami opening day. But you get that next level with the Missouris, with the South Carolinas, with the Kentuckys, Tennessee, Vandy, so on. A wide array of things could happen to all of those teams, so it's very difficult to predict. I didn't get involved in South Carolina's win total. There's a couple of question marks on this team. I don't doubt the offense. I think Bentley, you know, for all the criticism that he takes, some of it warranted. I mean, the red zone stuff that, you know, where he had a lot of failures last year. But I think he's going to be just fine. I think the offense will be just fine under McClendon. When I look this team over, it's the trenches where they've just got to be better. And if they are better, offensive line, defensive line, they'll be okay. But just to throw some numbers at you real quick, you know, for an SEC team that wants to be good, you can't gain 4.5 yards per carry and allow 4.5 yards per carry. It doesn't work. You can't have a net zero and be a good SEC team. You'll be a middle-of-the-road SEC team. Last year, they gained 153.5 yards rushing per game. They allowed 195. But if you take out, let's subtract Chattanooga, Akron, and Coastal Carolina, three basically walkover games for an SEC team of South Carolina's caliber, and all of a sudden they're minus 94 yards rushing. The offensive and defensive lines have to be better. They had 26 sacks last year. 10 of those came in those three games. So the other 9 games, meaningful games, they had 16 sacks, less than 2 a game. You have to have defensive pressure. You have to have an offensive line that can block, and I know they had injuries on the defensive side, so we don't want to shortchange South Carolina. But to me, that's what's got to go better for this team. They have to show up and be physical. And it's funny, Will Muschamp is that kind of head coach, so it wouldn't surprise me if they do show up. I know he's touting this as one of his better rosters since he's been there, so we'll see.
And the thing that, again, didn't make the preseason magazines is the addition of Tavian Feaster, because it only happened at the beginning of the month of August. How does that legitimize things? Does that pique your ear up at them a little bit more than maybe before?
Yeah, you know what? It's a great move for South Carolina. I think because I didn't have their offense being a question mark to begin with, I don't think, you know, it's slightly better having him. But I think in this regard, we'll take what I just said about the offensive line and the ground game. Feaster's a guy that can make yards on his own with less help. So if the offensive line didn't improve, that's a good pickup for South Carolina there to help their ground game out. So it's nothing but a positive. It could make them, you know, a touchdown more explosive per game in some instances, for sure. So that's big for them, and I think it'll help, no doubt about it.
There's no value, Robbie, in picking Bama, Clemson, or Georgia to be in the playoff. Who's your value pick to be in the playoff?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, if you were minusing those three, you would have to, you know, I don't know what kind of value Oklahoma presents, but, I mean, Oklahoma would be the next team in. Obviously, I read an article the other day where they're treating this season as if they're the underdog to win the national title. I'm thinking to myself, well, of course you are an underdog to win the national title. You're not the first or second choice. But somebody off the radar, Will, that maybe could sneak in there. I don't think you'll find anybody out of the Pac-12. Boy, my best guess would be to stay in the SEC. And I think if everything goes right offensively for LSU, I think LSU could be one of those sleeper-type teams. You shouldn't really call LSU a sleeper. They're right. So good. But I think if it goes their way with the offensive switch, and if, you know, Coach O gets out of the way and lets the offense roll the way they're preaching offense philosophically right now, then, you know, they could be that team. They're the one team to me that in the SEC could probably look to overthrow Alabama in the West. I haven't had a lot of success against them recently, but, you know, we're looking for a long shot. I'll say LSU.
Our time is short. Pally, do you have a free play for us tonight, as you have become accustomed to giving me every time I join you on a Friday?
Yeah, we can go over to Major League Baseball tonight, Will, because that's really the predominant. There's only three NFL exhibition games. Won't worry about that. But I would go right back with the Chicago Cubs tonight. Suffered a miserable loss last night. 7 runs allowed in an inning and a third to the Phillies. But Kyle Hendricks has been on a real roll. Joe Musgrove, 8 home runs allowed his last 23 innings, has been really a punching bag here. Pittsburgh's picked it up again against right-handed pitching. No doubt about it. Offensively, they've been good. But I think the Cubs are in a good spot to rebound here against the Pirates and go ahead and get the win. Pirates, what are they, like 6-27 since the break? Short price here, only about $1.35. So we'll take the Cubs. Free play for tonight, minus $1.35 over the Pirates.
You know, as long as I'm here, get used to hearing this guy's voice, because he is a fantastic wealth of knowledge. Sports from a Vegas perspective. Rob Vina, we'll do a little bit more of the pro stuff next week, and also more Clemson, South Carolina. We're getting close to football season, Palio. I'm loving it. I love hearing your voice. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. Will, have a good weekend, buddy. I'll talk to you next week.
My best to your two kids as well. And the third one, too.
Thank you.
That is Rob Vina, sportsmemo.com, here on ESPN Upstate. He's got a kid who's in a band. He's got another kid who works at the mothership. Worldwide leader, and he's got another one as well. So he's got people in the biz, which is nice. Please tell me you were impressed by that, Deez.
The guy knows everything about everything.
He's I swear, if I wanted to talk about UMass football, he can give you a minute on UMass football. I don't know why you'd want it, but this just gives you the range of that guy. Okay, I want to get to this story. I really do. This is a story that literally drove me banana sandwich earlier today and I almost threw coffee in somebody's face. You're going to have to hear it next on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the most absurd story I've heard in quite a while. I'm serious to you. This literally, when I saw this, I originally saw this from somebody who works for the guy who works for the Associated Press, the college football writer who works for the Associated Press, Ralph DeRusso, and he said, checks Twitter, Louisiana Lafayette in the news, and he said, come on, really? And so I'm thinking, okay, what the heck happened there? Because I know a couple people at Louisiana Lafayette. Again, their athletic director is somebody who worked under the athletic director while I worked at Missouri, and he brought a bunch of people from that department with him. So there's a lot of smart people in that athletic department, and I'm not just saying that because they were there. I'm just saying it because I've dealt with them in the past. And the story involves the head football coach, Billy Napier, who introduced an idea in a Wednesday press conference saying that he's going to require its scholarship football players to make a donation to the Ragin' Cajun Athletic Foundation of $50 a year, basically their IPTE equivalent.
What?
Exactly. Their Gamecock Club / IPTE equivalent. He's going to require the football players to make a donation of $50 a year.
Well, first of all, the big story is that they don't call their alumni club the Pepper Patch.
No.
Because that would be phenomenal.
Ragin' Cajun Athletic Foundation, RCAF, if you will.
Opportunity missed.
He said it was mandatory for scholarship athletes and optional walk-ons. Now, I don't purport anybody to agree with me on my stipulation and my stance that amateurism, as far as college football goes, is a farce. I'm not saying you have to climb onto that board, 844-GSP-ESPN, but could you just at least look at how tone deaf this is and how incredibly absurd this is?
It sounds like you're saying we can't get everybody else to donate, so we're going to ask our scholarship players to donate.
And And while $50 might not seem like a lot to you and me, and really it almost kind of breaks down like $25 because apparently for those who are faculty and students, it's matched double, so really it's only like $25. I personally just don't understand why they are taking this to the level that they are and saying, oh, well, you know, it's just $2 a day. You don't understand.
They're trying to sell it now.
They can't make any money while they're playing football. I understand the value of a scholarship. I understand the value of a diploma. I understand all of that.
You know what all that has, though? What cash value that has?
Zero.
Zero.
I can't take a diploma and deposit it into my checking account. I can't bring my diploma to you, to the RCAF Foundation, and say, oh, can you take $50 out of this? It's not a credit card. And quite honestly, the fact that people keep treating collegiate student athletes the way that they do and treating the scholarship that they get for playing college sports as something that has college value is the thing that makes me more mad than anything else, because a scholarship for that athlete is not the same as tuition, room, and board for a regular student. And David Hale of ESPN, who we're going to have on Monday, fantastic college football reporter, said this the perfect way. Do you get ratings for your biology lab? Do you get ratings for the lecture inside your economics 1000 class? Are people clamoring and tailgating and beer bonging and doing all the things that they would do for a college football game outside of your personal finance lecture? No. The reason that college football exists is because these schools are on television making boatloads of money. Don't tell me that they don't turn a profit. They make boatloads of money. Look at the money that they get from Nike and Under Armour and Adidas and ESPN and Fox. They all make money. They choose to spend it on bloated coaches' salaries. They choose to spend it on these amazing football buildings and these palaces. And then they have the audacity to turn around and ask for money from the kids who are their free labor? I would tell the coach to kiss my behind. Kiss my bumper. That's stupid.
You know, to anybody out there who wants to come with this argument of getting a scholarship, going to school with no debt-free, getting the best room and board, getting food, getting, you know, top-notch medical training, that's like handing somebody a gift card for $100,000 or whatever the value of a scholarship it is.
But you can only spend it here.
Right. But on the side of it, on the back of it, it clearly states no cash value, and then saying, okay, now go break this and give me $50 back. That's pure insanity.
They have walked it back, thankfully.
They have CYA.
They have walked it back. This is Billy Napier earlier today saying basically, my bad.
Maybe it was put out there that this was a mandatory deal. You know, when I spoke with the players, I told them, you know, if they can't afford it or maybe they feel like they're stretching a little thin, they can easily come see me personally. Or if they disagree with it, they can come see me personally and I'll pay theirs on my behalf. So, you know, this is something that I think we need. I think young people need it. And I think it's important. I feel like it's part of my job to teach them those principles and values that go along with our football program. And we're talking about $50 a year for 4 years, $200, $4.25 a month, 17 cents a day, to basically say thank you to the people that have contributed to their experience and their opportunity.
What is this, radiothon? He's trying to sell them on how cheap and how affordable it is? He simultaneously walked it back and doubled down at the same time.
You want to know how the discussion would go? if he wanted me to explain why I wouldn't give the scholarship fund $50 out of money that I'm not making to play for your football team, you want to know how that discussion would go, Diesel? I'm taking my behind to the transfer portal.
I'm out, coach.
I'll see you on the other side. Kiss my bumper.
Just out of curiosity, doing some quick math here. 85 scholarship players times $50. If I was on that team, I would say, everybody, let's go straight to Billy's office. Every single one of us. It could be like that part in Rudy where they're all laying down their jerseys one after the other.
Yeah.
I want every single one of them to walk in a line and say, coach, I can't pay it. Pay mine. And that would be $4,200 out of Billy Napier's. And that's $8,000.
Please. That's not, all that's this not bad, even a fraction of his salary.
All this bad pub is over $8,000.
That's a program killer, man. I'm telling you, it's a program killer. There's no – and again, Dr. Brian Maggard's a very, very smart man. And he basically looked at this and said, oh, man, oh, gosh. After seeing the reaction to this, said, oh, my gosh, what did we do? What have we done? You know, you mentioned Dumb and Dumber the other day, and that scene at the end where Lloyd grabs Harry and says, do you realize what you've done?
That the is, town is back that way.
That is exactly what I think Dr. Brian Maggard said to Billy Napier when he said, oh, this was mandatory. No, we can't mandate this. Why is this happening? Why do they not understand what you are giving these players has no monetary value? Yes, you can use it to get a job later in life. Yes, you could use it to further a career that might come out as something other than sports. But in reality, they are free labor, and you are asking them for money like it's a sign-up fee? This is not peewee. This is Division I football. Come on. Ugh. I have more on this later. Don't worry. But we have to pause. Did you hear what Rex Ryan said today on Get Up? If you missed it, it's a doozy, and it's hilarious. Next on ESPN Upstate. So I keep jumping the gun. I apologize. You know, Rex Ryan finds himself a professor of the podiatry, right? Happens to like the Tootsies, if you will. Likes the feet.
Probably a little too much.
A little too much. They were talking about Antonio Brown's feet and another person's feet this morning on ESPN on the Get Up show, which I never watch, but literally I think that this is the most important 40 seconds of consequence ever uttered on that program's history. This is them earlier this morning on ESPN talking about the feat, if you will, a feat of strength.
That was Bobby Carpenter explaining that every year that he played in the NFL, he would have his toenails
removed. Why are we doing this again?
Before the season began, so they wouldn't just get smashed up, and then they would just sort of grow in at their own pace over the course of the year.
This is a morning show.
I understand that.
Okay, now, we gotta quit talking about feet and toenails while people are eating their Cheerios.
All right. Well, let's not talk about feet.
Daniel Jones.
Oh my gosh.
I was gonna say, I mean,
I can't stay for this.
With that, we wrap up what's been a terrific week. Rex, I'll never see you again. The Little League World Series is next on ESPN. Enjoy it all day long.
That is Rex Ryan talking about feet. I tell you what, man. He said, let's not talk about feet. I love that. I love his ability to basically, he actually got a tattoo with his woman, with his wife's foot sticking out or whatever, wearing a Mark Sanchez jersey back when he was coach of the Jets. Had it changed when he ended up coaching the Bills. That's funny as heck. It is ESPN Upstate. We'll come back. How long do you think the Clemson dynasty will last? We ask you this, 844-GSP, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.